Welcome to the Lakeside Baptist Church podcast. We pray you are blessed as you hear the word of God today. For more information regarding Lakeside Baptist Church, please visit lakeside.asn.au.
We've just celebrated Christmas, and as a part of Christmas, one of the things that often comes to mind for most people is gifts. Now, if I'm pretty honest with you, I'm actually not the greatest at giving gifts. It's only taken me 12 years of marriage to understand that some people really do love gifts. But despite saying that I'm not big into gifts, I have received some gifts that I've absolutely loved. For example, I want to show you, this is a picture of my second drum kit, actually. This was a band I was in when I was young, and I don't know if you can see it. I've got the long hair and all of that sort of gear, which was important as a probably 18, 19-year-old young guy wanting to be a rock star, all of that sort of gear. But this drum kit, my parents actually paid half of this for me, and I absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. So much so that I would regularly pull it entirely apart. So every one of these drums has 8 screws on top, 8 screws on the bottom. You pull it all apart so that you can dust it, you can clean it, you can, because dust gets into every nook and cranny on a drum kit. Dust it completely apart, spend hundreds of dollars on new skins, put it all back together. I'd spend hours polishing the cymbals because I loved this gift. Spent hours playing it. I remember in year 11 and 12 when I had that drum kit, I'd spend at least a couple of hours every day playing it. And then when it got to uni, it became about 3 or 4 hours a day that I was playing this drum kit because I just loved it. It was such a good gift. Then there are also some other gifts which I've gotten which I haven't loved so much. I used to be a music teacher, and I remember getting these mugs from my students. And particularly, I remember one mug, which I just thought was hilarious, because it said, best music teacher ever. It was from a young guy who I actually really loved teaching. But it was pink, and it was actually like it was for a female teacher. And I thought, is this mug, you know what, I've actually still got it today. As much as I had way too many mugs and half of them have gone, this one mug I still have today because I just thought it was so funny. And of course, then along with that came plenty of chocolates, and of course I appreciated the chocolates. It's always a good, safe gift for a music teacher. We've just gone through the Christmas season, which is one time of the year that most of us aim to give gifts. Or in my situation, I aim to make sure that my wife can go and buy gifts for our children. This morning, we are going to explore 1 Corinthians 12. And this is a passage that first considers the spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. The gifts that God has for his amazing people, us. They are amazing gifts. They are incredible gifts. I find it fascinating that the Bible would even use the word gifts. See, I mean, the Bible could have described them as extra parts of our personality or something like that, but it doesn't. And what I think Paul is actually trying to say by naming them spiritual gifts is he's actually trying to say our God loves us. Our God thinks so much of us that he is actually a good giver. He isn't like me who forgets about birthdays and forgets about giving gifts and organizing gifts and all of those sorts of things. He's actually a giver who gives great gifts. This morning, we're not actually going to spend a whole bunch of time looking at what we would consider the spiritual gifts. In the Bible, there are about 26 gifts which are actually named, and I believe that that's not exhaustive. In fact, in the start of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it actually says that God gives these gifts to different people in different ways according to our personalities and the way that we work. So as much as one person might have a gift of mercy, which means that they love this, another person might have a gift of mercy, which means that they love that. Does that make sense? So God has this incredible way of knowing exactly who we are and giving us these gifts which actually suit us perfectly. And then he encourages us to use them in the body of Christ. And that is what I want to focus on this morning. Let's read it from verse 12. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Now, when I first read that verse, I felt like it was really clumsy. So let me try to rephrase it or re-say it a little bit, okay? So just as a body, though one, I have a body here, and it is one body. Nothing's falling off yet. Just as I have many parts, I have hands, I have feet, I have fingers, I have eyes, I have a brain, I have a heart. There are lots of different parts to me. But all of those many parts create one body. And what Paul, the author of 1 Corinthians, is trying to communicate to us here is that the body of Christ is just like that. He's using a metaphor. He's saying that us, the people who belong to Christ, are just like a body. And he keeps on using these metaphors throughout this passage. Verse 13, for we were all baptized by one Spirit. Again, it's a metaphor. What we actually believe is that when we accept Jesus as our King, as our Savior, that the Spirit comes and fills us. Out with the old Spirit, in with the new, in with the Holy Spirit. It's just like we had some baptisms here just before Christmas. And at those baptisms, people were declaring that Jesus was the King of their lives. And as they did it, they went down into the waters to symbolize that the old was getting washed away and they were coming up new people. And in the same way, Paul is saying, out with the old, in with the new. The Holy Spirit now fills you. And as a part of that, you have access to these amazing gifts that God wants to gift to you. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter how terrible we think we are. Doesn't matter how good we think we are. Doesn't matter how short, how tall. Doesn't matter who we are. God has gifts for everyone. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Again, it's a metaphor. He's not talking about whiskey here. He's saying that we all have access to the Holy Spirit. That when we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, the metaphor is to drink it. We can take it in. Drinking is something that we do, isn't it? It's easy. And he's saying this isn't a complicated thing. It's actually as simple as us just saying, Jesus, I want you to fill me. Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, I want you to fill me. I want you to be a part of my life. I want you to help guide me. I want you to help direct me. I would love to see some of these gifts happening in my life. I want to be a part of contributing to your body. We continue on in verse 15. It says, now if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. Even if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Many parts, but one body. Let me illustrate this for you. My kids love our garden, and people have told me that they love pictures of our garden. So there's a picture of our garden about to come up here. Okay, love our garden, and they love digging around in the dirt. But more than actually loving our garden, I think that sometimes they actually love these little things called slaters. Now, slaters, as I've actually spent time checking them out, are actually really good for our garden. They help to work through all the soil, and they make sure that then everything comes out all re-fertilized or whatever. It comes out the other end. They do their thing. Okay, let me just keep on going. Okay, so they do their thing, and it's really good for our garden, and it helps to do that. Anyway, okay, fertilize it, that's the word. So, slaters are in our garden. I don't know how they got there, but they did. And our kids, they love playing this little game, which they call Slater Hotel. And what they will do is they will find any little plastic bucket and they'll put a few little leaves in it and some things like that to make it really pretty. And then they go and look for all the slaters in the garden. They pick them out of the garden and they put them in their little hotel. Now, the problem with this is that actually slaters need the moisture of the soil to live. And so by my kids picking them out and putting them in this little hotel, and see, some of the dialogue goes a bit like this, where we're saving the slaters by putting them in our hotel. And I've tried to explain to my kids, no, you're not, you're killing them. I think that they're starting to get it. Slaters belong in their garden, just as we, with our spiritual gifts, belong in the body of the church. When the slaters are taken out of the garden suffers, and so do the slaters. Paul is explaining in this passage that as a part of the body of Christ, I need the church around me. I need the body of Christ. I can't be a Christian on my own. I can't use my spiritual gifts on my own. From the Life Application Bible Commentary, because if I'm quoting someone, I can say something as strong as this. It says this: the idea that Christians can somehow function and flourish outside of the body of Christ sounds as ludicrous as a rebellious ear or foot. Doesn't it sound ridiculous? If my ear was to say, oh no, I don't want to be part of the body anymore, just takes off, what would happen to it? Solitary Christianity has no basis in God's word. We need the church and are needed by other Christians. I hope this morning that every one of us is reminded that we are vital. We are vital, every one of us. Have you ever felt like you're not? Have you ever felt as a part of the church that you're not vital? You are vital for the health of our church, and being here helps you to stay healthy in your faith. Your spiritual gifts are vital here. In fact, church growth experts say that our church size limit is proportionate to the number of people who are active in the church. For us to help people say yes to Jesus here in this church, We need more people to say yes to serving in the church. We need more people to say, yeah, I've got some gifts. I've actually, as a part of my faith, believe that God has given me my gifts so that I can bless this community. And I want to use them so that we can help others to say yes to Jesus. We need everyone. When we cease to use our spiritual gifts, Lakeside ceases to be the missional church that God meant it to be. We cease to be a church where we can encourage people to say yes to Jesus. That is our mandate. That is why we're here. That's why we've built a recreation center. That's why we have basketball ministry. That's why we have a whole bunch of our community through here every week, because we believe that the message of Jesus is amazing, because we believe he is the only hope for the earth, that he is the only one who can bring salvation, that word which means saving, that word which means that we get to live an amazing life now and in heaven. He is the reason for that. Are we using our spiritual gifts? Are we using our spiritual gifts? Let's continue reading. Verse 21 says this: the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Now, it seems to me that Paul is saying the same thing over and over again. He's already said that one part can't survive by itself, and now again he's saying in this verse, in a different way, what happens when there's some sort of conflict, when people actually say, I don't need you. I don't want to be a part of you anymore. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Unfortunately, the truth about church is that sometimes we hurt each other. Sometimes we do say things like, I don't need you. That's pretty sad, isn't it? Let me tell you a story. Just before Christmas, I was speaking to someone at a Christmas gathering, and this mature lady has spent years as a Christian, has been active in church, and yet she'd come to a point in her life where she decided she had had enough of church. She didn't need it anymore. After all, she and God were close. Church at Christmas and Easter was enough for her these days. I didn't feel that on this occasion I could challenge this lady directly. However, I was really quite saddened by her disposition. I felt like saying to her, but church is about worshiping God. Church is about actually coming and saying to him that he is magnificent, that he is amazing, that he created this entire world that I live in. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for being so big that you created the entire universe for me to enjoy. And then despite our separation through wrongdoing which came in through human beings, that he would come down and become a human being just like me and just like you, and he would die on a cross to say, you know what, if it's not enough that I made the entire universe for you, I'll die for you as well. That is amazing love. That is beautiful love That is love that I just can't even fathom. That is out of this world. And we know that the story continues. It doesn't end on that cross, because 3 days later he rose again. He's not a dead God in the ground that we worship. He is alive and he is well. And every time we sing, every time we bow on the ground, every time that we raise our hands in worship, every time that we utter the words that you are awesome, God, he hears it. And you know the incredible thing, as I've spent time considering worship, the more that I think about it, and I think about this idea of a God who would want us to worship him, I've sometimes gone through the whole thought cycle, but if he really loves us, why would he want us to worship him? Well, actually, if there's nothing else in all creation that is as good as him, then why would he want us to worship anything else? He's actually putting the best option in front of us. When we come to church and when we worship him, we are declaring that he is who he is, the very best. There is no one else like him. He is amazing. And there is a second reason equally important. Back to this story, as I was thinking in my head, listening to this lady tell me her story, the second reason that is equally important. And in this passage that we're looking at here, Paul describes the church as a body. When a part of the body is missing, the whole body misses out. Just this last weekend, I was down in Albany with my family. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. And at one stage, the girls were all fishing down in the bay where we were staying. And I'm not a huge fisher, but I really love riding bikes. So I got on my bike and I was going for a ride. And as I was riding, I came onto a section of road. I was on my mountain bike, so a lot of it was all sand and rocks and stuff like that. But I got onto a section of road, and as I did, I saw a young guy in a wheelchair. And the thought went through my head, I wouldn't be able to enjoy riding this bike if I didn't have the use of my legs. I was really saddened by that. What would the body of Christ look like if we didn't have our legs? I felt like saying to this lady, you have something so valuable to offer the church. Your experience as a mature woman is invaluable to others in the church. Your gifts and passion can help others to grow, to love Jesus in the same way that you do. Can I say personally, thank you to the older people in our church? Because actually, it's older people in our church who have actually guided me to be the person that I am today. I have to say a massive thank you to my pastor back in South Australia who's just retired, but he's the first one to have said to me, Shane, you're going to be in ministry in one day. Now, as a 13-year-old child, I laughed at him. I said, oh, yeah, whatever, old man. But you know what? I'm still friends with him today. He's still a mentor to me today. And I might have been a young, cocky little so-and-so, but today I'm so grateful for him in my life. I'm so grateful for the elderly people in our church. We need you. Unfortunately, that day I didn't say those things. No, actually, it's not unfortunate. I didn't feel I had the right to. I just listened. As I did, I got the hint that behind the smile and the jovial comments, that hurt was a common theme through the story. The sad thing is that there are times when it feels like the eye has told the hand that they are not needed. I don't know this woman's full story. I don't know her pain. But I do know that I've been hurt in churches a whole bunch of time. And I know that hurt in the church is a part of almost every Christian's story. It's sad, and I've had plenty of conversations with people where we've lamented the fact that a whole bunch of people who are trying to follow Jesus could end up hurting each other. It's sad, isn't it? But actually, I think that's just a part of being humanity. We make mistakes, we get things wrong, and God actually ends up using this for his purpose. He uses this to sharpen us and to bring us closer to him and to each other if we would allow it. If you are feeling like your expectations are not being met here at Lakeside, please come and chat with someone. I'd hate for you to go away and go, yeah, that's me. There's nothing that can be done about it, because there is. We can talk these things through. I'd encourage you, if you're feeling hurt by a specific person, come and see that person. Go and try to deal with it. If you don't feel like you can, come and see the leadership, and we'll try to help you to resolve those things. I can't guarantee that things are necessarily going to change, but what I can say is that we have people who are willing to listen and try to find appropriate solutions. Human beings living in community, there is going to be friction. That's how bodies work. I love from here, just out here, there's a 6-kilometre walk around Bibra Lake, and occasionally during lunch I'll go for a walk around the lake. Now, sometimes I end up, if I'm wearing the wrong shorts, I'll end up with chafing. And I remember the last time that I did, I was walking home like a cowboy all the way. And for the next couple of days, it really hurt. That's what bodies do. Things happen. As we head into this new year, please don't carry hurt. Please go and talk to someone about it. Please try to get it sorted out. Perhaps you're feeling like you're not connected to the body here. Perhaps you are feeling like that ear which is disconnected. Well, we can help you with that too. See, we have life groups where people around our city catch up in living rooms around the place so that people can feel connected. We want to help you feel connected. Talk to me or someone, if you know someone's a life group leader, talk to them. See if you can join their group or find a group that is going to be suitable for you. It's fantastic. It's healthy. Perhaps you don't know where you can serve in a way that you can really bless the body. Perhaps you don't know how you can use your spiritual gifts. Well, I want to encourage you then to sign up for CORE. Check it out. So we're looking at 3 different streams, as has already been said. Anthony's looking at fundamentals of faith. It's going to be fantastic. Braden, I'm really stoked that Braden's going to be teaching one. He's going to be looking at discipleship, and I know that he's really passionate about discipleship. He wants to see our young people here discipled in the ways of Christ. I'm really excited to see what he does. And I'll be looking at spiritual gifts. Now, I actually did this at CORE just a few months ago, but I've decided to do it again because we had a whole bunch of people say, hey, I would have loved to have come. I wasn't able to make it. Can you do it again? I am. And I also think that one of the really important things about this is it helps us as a church to know how we work. God has gifted every one of us differently. It's pretty amazing, and it's great to deep dive into this topic. So I really want to encourage you, sign up. Go and check it out. Now, the URL there is slightly wrong. I've got to get that changed. It's actually tinyurl.com/CORE Regio 3. Okay, CORE Regio 3. Sign up. Check it out. February. Does it say January? Fantastic. Good. I'd better get you to do my proofreading in the future. Where would we be without each other? You know, I just want to quickly, as I'm finishing up, I just want to give you a few examples. Some people I really appreciate here. They probably won't appreciate it, but I don't care. The first person who I wanted to mention is actually Gordon Hand. Gordon is a guy who almost every time that I send out an email saying, hey, guys, we need some help with this or with this or with this, Gordon is almost always the first one to reply, saying, yep, I'll be there. And you know what? Every time that I've gone to thank Gordon, this is his response. His response is, oh, you don't need to thank me. It's my privilege to be a part of this church and to serve. What an amazing, humble guy. Fantastic. You're awesome. Another couple who I really love here who do some amazing things, Rob and Kay Stevens. Are they around? Yes, Rob is. These guys, now let me tell you, over the last couple of years as I've been looking after life groups, they have a group of people who have gone through some pretty full-on stuff in their lives. And Rob and Kay just continue to pour love into their life group and into those people. Can I tell you that the pastoral caring gift on their lives is amazing? I might have a title of pastor, but I don't actually think that my spiritual gift is pastoring. I tell my kids all the time if they hurt themselves, I go, high five. I don't have that sort of pastoring thing in me. I've learnt it a bit because I've gone to college and learned about theology and learned what I'm supposed to look like as a pastor, but I don't do it well. Nowhere near as good as these guys. They are amazing. And one other person, I don't know if she's here again either, but Jane Wallhead, if she's not here, make sure you shout out to her. I can't see her. But over Christmas, we actually had a couple of performers who had lined up from outside of our church to come and be a part of the introductory song, if you were here. And at the last minute, they had to pull out. Now, it was good reasoning. It was actually a death in the family, and they end up in England. The last minute, I go to Jane and say, hey, Jane, is there any possibility you can learn these parts? And they were some pretty full-on parts. And she said, yep, no worries, on it. And she was amazing. It's fantastic, such a servant heart. Can I tell you that our church isn't the same without these people. And I could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. We have lots of people here serving in lots of different ways. I love it. It's beautiful. And if you're one of those who is serving, massive thank you. It's awesome. You are an amazing part of the body of Christ here at Lakeside. Thank you. I'm going to get the musos to come up now. I hope that what we would take out of the message today is this. God loves you and he has given you some amazing gifts with which to bless the church. In the reminder of his love for you, would you worship him today with abandon? As we sing this last song, if you know Jesus, would you find yourself connecting with him and just go, God, you are out of this world. That you would want to put gifts in my life. Who am I that you would want to pour stuff into me? If you don't know what your gifts are, find out. Find out. Core is coming up. Register now. tinyurl.com. CoreRegio3. Check it out. God wants you to be able to unwrap your good gifts. He gives them to everyone. The Bible's clear. We don't all get the same ones. That's how the body works. But he gives you the right ones for you. It's amazing. If you are feeling like a hand that is not needed, come and organise a time to meet. hurt only grows, and in the end, a hand without a body doesn't fare well. I would really hate for that to be a part of your journey, if you're here feeling like that. If God is not your king this morning, please make today the day. Make today the day that you say, yeah, you know what? See, I think I do need you to be my king. You are my God. I want you to be the God of my life. I'm starting to see that I think that you love me. So perhaps that's good enough reason for me to follow you. If that's you, please again, talk to me or talk to someone you came with. It is an amazing journey. Doesn't mean that life is always hunky-dory. No, we've just talked about how even in the body of Christ, we get things wrong. It happens. But it's amazing. Let's pray. Jesus, this morning, I want to declare that you are my King. That you are out of this world. You created this world. You are ginormous. You are bigger than anything that I could possibly imagine. And yet, in being so amazingly great, you would love us as your body. That you would say, I have gifts for you. Lord, help us this year as we dive into 2020 to be a church that would love you passionately, that would aim to use everything that you've given us. Every one of us individually, Lord, you don't give us the same gifts. You help us to be hands and feet and legs and whatever. Lord, help us to all do our own little bit so that people can continue to say yes to Jesus. Father, we want revival in this place. We want people to come to know you like never before because you're amazing. It's going to change their lives, Lord. We want this. Father, help me to play my role in that. Help us all to play our role in that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.